Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. Announcement time.
Is that what time it is?
It's game time.
Huh.
Guys, first of all, we want to thank the Loudspeakers Network, home to Brilliant Idiots and Lip Service and
The Read,
all these great podcasts over there. We want to say thank you very much for our time for the last 2 years of letting us hang out over there. And we wanted to announce that as of last week, we
are no longer allowed at the holiday party.
We have our own opportunities that we're pursuing, and we've stepped out on our own. We think there's been a lot of wins in our sales over 2018, and we wanted to start 2019 with full ownership and a lot of big expectations and big ideas and big fortune in our future. So thank you to Loudspeakers Network. And the reason why we announced this, the reason why we're not like just doing... like Twitter says,
Twitter says you can't announce things, you just have to do it.
Right. Well, we're here because...
we love announcements.
We feel like this is not just us. As much as it is just us, it's also you guys. And we wanted to make this a transparent process. We wanted to make this where you guys are just as invested in this operation as we are. And so, one of the things that we're doing is involving you guys in a newsletter. We've started a newsletter. We sent the first one out now.
Yeah. I don't know when we... like a few days ago.
Okay. We sent
it out. But also like every day since.
Right. But what day are people listening to this?
I don't know.
Today.
Today.
We've started this today. The newsletter is for you guys. It's a way for you to understand what's going on with us, where we'll be, what we're doing, what upcoming events we have, what merch we'll have. It's so you can skip this intro if you want. It's so you can skip the commercials. It's a way to go directly to you and you to us. And there's a few different ways for you to sign up for this newsletter. And those are?
Pay $500.
That is why we're independent, guys. Yeah, no, you can DM us your email address. You can email us your email address. You can go to our website and type it into the contact page. There's lots of different ways to get your email address to us.
Yeah, you can write it on a piece of paper and throw it at us.
That's right.
If we're passing by you on the street. You can attach it to a rock and throw it through our window.
All these different ways to get in touch with us. But the fact is that we want to be in constant communication with you guys however we can. And we appreciate the fact that so many of you have lent your information to us already.
Yeah, we promise not to sell it to Verizon. Like, that's not what we're doing with
right.
it. All we're doing is we're sending out a newsletter every couple of weeks or a month or whatever.
That's right.
It's just for us and you to be more in contact than we already are. Like,
yeah.
You already hear our voices. Now you can read our words.
That's right.
Yeah.
So starting now, you can get our
today.
Newsletter and you know, just get in contact with us.
Yeah. And also feel free to email back.
And also get excited because we have a lot of exciting things happening in 2019, including Jeff. Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies has its own feed on iTunes and SoundCloud and Stitcher and everywhere you can find
Castbox.
It.
CastBox. Did you even know there was a thing called CastBox?
I had no idea.
Neither did I.
Does it say it in the newsletter?
Oh, I think it does.
Okay.
I'm all about CastBox now.
So, Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies. Go to iTunes. Go to Spotify. Go wherever you subscribe.
CastBox.
And press subscribe. It has its own feed, so you won't get Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies on a Waste of Time's feed. You'll get it in its own feed
in the CastBox.
Subscribe. Also rate and comment, because that goes a long way.
It matters, apparently.
A lot.
Who knew? Like, it's a funny thing. I don't know how the iTunes rankings works.
Yeah,
but I imagine it has something to do with comments and subscriptions. So just comment. Even if you already subscribe,
it makes us feel better.
That's all it is.
It gives us purpose for our days.
Yeah.
Guys, there's a lot of things yet to happen in 2019 for your boys, It's the Real. But we're starting off today our first brand new episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real in 2019.
We have Jason Rembert.
Jason Rembert, the celebrity stylist for so many people. Russell Westbrook, Odell Beckham, Issa Rae,
Rita Ora, Spike Lee, Gucci Mane.
And a whole bunch more, but that doesn't even get into his own personal journey to get to this point, Jeff, to make it here all the way from Far Rockaway, the child of a single mother living in small quarters with four other siblings, to go to school and skip class and focus on both math, but being fresh, and Right?
Right. Those are two opposite things. Yeah, you can't like both math and being fresh.
That's right. You can only do one. Uh-huh. And to make inroads in the magazine business and then strike out on his own to try to do something that was so foreign to him.
And it's so dope because here's a guy who this past year was honored at a ceremony with Dapper Dan and LeBron James.
It's pretty incredible. Jason Rembert's the dopest dude. He came over here right after I nearly set the apartment on fire, but that's a whole nother story for another day. Jeff?
Maybe in the newsletter.
When do you want to get into this episode?
Right after I tell people that you can listen to episode 200.
Yeah, that's the one about us.
That's the one about us.
Highly recommend that episode.
Because people wonder, you know, who are these two people I'm listening to?
Well,
what's their deal?
Well, episode 200 is where you can find all those answers.
I also think that people should listen to the Upscale Vandal episode.
That's a great one. What episode number is that?
That is episode number 152.
Yo, Mike, who also goes by Upscale Vandal, is one of these guys on Instagram that you see everywhere. You see he's a part of everything. He runs with Roc Nation. He's always at Pusha T's side. You've seen him all over the internet. But a lot of people don't know what he does. Well, you get all the answers, his whole come up, his amazing story in episode number
152. I also think that you should listen to number 170 with Jamal Jamot.
That's a great one, too. Our friend Jamal, who is an executive on the digital side for Downtown Records right now, formerly at E1, before that worked with Nick Cannon, but before that also came from Far Rockaway. And his incredible journey of graduating high school early and getting into the music business almost upended by a super scary health situation. And to have overcome that and make it this far is one of the most epic conversations we've ever had. And I highly recommend that episode.
Also, number 127, Daechuan Thomas.
Yo, all right. That's the episode that is probably the most underrated one of the whole bunch. And he's the only one, I'm pretty sure, who has talked about his experiences with the greatest president of the United States of America.
Barack Obama.
That's the one. Go check out that episode with our guy, Daechuan Thomas. Jeff, when do you want to get into this one?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Women's Wear Daily, a.k.a. Carmen San Diego.
Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Draped Up and Dripped Out, a.k.a. Business Cash Money Millionaires.
What up? This is Jason Rimmer. I need to get an intro.
Yes, your third favorite podcast to waste time with is The Real. Jason, what's happening?
I'm chilling, bro.
Yo.
I'm grateful to be here.
No, thank you so much for being here. And by the way, on short notice, this was like... And I don't know if this usually happens with you when you switch up flights, but you are here 7 hours before your flight, and this is not like, you know, your flight's in the afternoon. This is like a first thing in the morning flight, and you still showed up here the night before.
Oh, no, definitely, man. I mean, I'm glad that you guys are able to accommodate. Like, I'm grateful for that.
No, thank you so much.
Well, I think it just shows that, like, we've got nothing going on. It's a Friday night, and we're just like, oh, yeah, you want to come over in 20 minutes? Absolutely.
Oh, my God. No, here's what we had going on. I nearly burnt down the apartment, and you can still smell the remnants of that. We used to cook for people, right? At the very beginning of the podcast, like 3.5 years ago, we were like, here's an idea. We'll invite people over. We'll cook for them. We made sea bass for Gunplay. We roasted a chicken and had vegetables for Bun B. Like, all these things, right? And then it was like, that's not good.
No, but, like, everybody would say that the food was good.
No, the food was good, but it's not good for the audio experience.
There's no point for a podcast, but... Everybody would say, like, oh, are you guys actually good cooks? Turns out Eric is not a good cook.
No, apparently not. He like, burned down the spot. Like, tonight was it. Okay. Can you cook?
I can cook what I like.
Okay.
Like, so
I would hope so.
Yeah. So things I like, I like buffalo wings.
There you go.
So I'm really good with buffalo wings.
All right.
I love jerk chicken, so I'm really good with jerk chicken.
That's what's up. Are these recipes that come down from, like, your parents or something like that? Or is this just, like, you figured it out one day and there it is?
I don't know, man. Like, every time I cook, it's like I start thinking about flavors in my head, and I just put them, and they work.
That's what's
up. That just sounds like you're drunk.
Jason, you had a hell of a year.
Oh, thanks, bro.
A hell of a 2018. How in the world can you top that?
Yeah, man. I think 2019 is about taking on different opportunities, which I probably didn't have time for before, but I'm trying to make more time. I think 2018 was about diversifying my portfolio and my clientele and showing that I can do everything and anything. I mean, now is I'm going to do what I want.
Which of your clients, and you have a lot of really big names, and everyone's seen your Instagram and everyone knows like who you're styling, but who are some of the names that like came to you in 2018 that really like surprised you and made your year?
Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
Steph Curry.
Yeah.
Ezra Miller. Jennifer Hudson.
Mm.
I circled back this year with Erykah Badu, and that was really dope.
Yeah.
Was Russell Westbrook this year?
Russell Westbrook, I've been working with Russell Westbrook for 2 years, and I just do all his magazine covers. So anytime he's like shooting a magazine cover, he hits me up. But I'm grateful that he continues to hit me up.
Yeah.
Did you get a heads up on Russell's new Jordans, or did you sort of like get the sort of reveal like the rest of us did?
I got the reveal like the rest of you guys, but the one before, like it was like more of the casual sneaker.
Mm-hmm.
I sold that shoe about 6 months ago.
Damn.
Like before it came out.
And did they seed you that early?
Man, I still haven't got seeded. Russ, I need some shoes, man. Like, I didn't get seeded at all. I'm actually about to text him about
you,
it.
You really should.
Yeah.
Also tell him hi.
Yeah.
I got you, bro.
So, all right, let's go back to the very beginning. Where are you originally from?
I'm from South Jamaica, Queens.
Right.
And I grew up between South Side and Far Rockaway.
What does Far Rockaway mean to you?
Shrimp. Far Rockaway was the place where I discovered who I was. I discovered that family was the most important thing. Like, my mom was a single mom raising all of her 5 kids. And we didn't have much. All we had was each other. And so living in 3-bedroom apartment on 6A in Redfern, my mom showed us shrimp daily. She showed us that we can make it out this neighborhood. And I remember like walking in our building one day, and my mom, we overheard these two young girls talking. And it was like, yeah, I can't wait till I grow up and I can get my own apartment. And my mom was like, you should want more. As soon as we got in the elevator, she was like, you should want more. And so, like, that was, she instilled a lot of values in us that, you know, I'm grateful for. Like, even now, like, when I, like, because I have kids now. So, like, my mom, she would send us to after-school program every day. She would send us to, she would find us free programs every summer. Like, I was a part of this program called Dare to Dream. And we used to meet at Johnny Cochran's office every month. And we used to go to etiquette classes every month. And it was just a really cool program. And it was like, it gave me outlets. And I used to go, like, she put us in like free tennis programs during the summer. And then when I got home, she wouldn't let me go outside in the projects because she just wanted more for us. Mm. She didn't treat us to think that we were better than anyone who we grew up with because my siblings were still down to earth. But she just wanted us to have more to life. And then both of my brothers, through basketball, they were able to go to boarding school. And it was just like, man, the sacrifices that she made really helped her kids have a broader view of life.
4 siblings.
Yeah.
That's a big family.
Yeah.
Where do you fall in line?
Middle.
Right in the middle?
Right in the middle.
And what does that make you? The sort of difficult one, or the free-thinking one, or?
The one who got all the ass whoopings. Like, my older brother did something, he blamed me. My youngest sister did something, my older brother blamed me. So I always got a ass whooping.
Damn. So
what were you interested in?
Growing up?
Yeah.
Math. I'm only good at one subject. Math.
That's it?
Yeah.
So not science?
No.
Not music?
No.
Not writing?
No.
Just math?
Just math.
And so where did you want to take that in your life?
I thought I was going to become like an actuary or like, I don't know, a math professor or something.
Really?
Yeah.
I hate to disappoint you.
I know, man. It's crazy. My entire family were all good in math. Mm-hmm. Like accounting majors, like math majors, like we're just all good at math.
Were you part of like math club and all that stuff, or was it just like you were just good at?
I was a part of a math club until fifth grade,
mm-hmm.
and then in sixth grade, I went to a junior high school, middle school, and I had a really, I met a really dope teacher there. His name was Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Johnson did an experiment on eight kids. And the experiment was that's when we were doing Regents.
Mm-hmm.
So
state tests.
Yeah. So he prepared us for Regents from sixth grade. We took our first Regents in seventh grade. We took like three more Regents in eighth grade. So out of the eight kids, four of us graduated high school in 11th grade.
Whoa.
I'm one of the four.
So how did that affect your life?
It didn't really affect my life because like when I was in high school, man, like and graduation came, like none of my friends believed I was graduating. Like because I used to cut school with them. So I really figured it out. Like because I would get 40s every class would be 40, 40, 40 on my like
you're talking about the drink.
Definitely the drink. But like my grades were 40s, man. Like I had 40s. It was horrible. But I knew if I passed the Regents at the end of the year, they would have to give me a 65.
So you could just...
So I never went to class, ever. Like, never went to class. Like, I went to school, like, fourth period, left, like, seventh.
Damn.
But I knew I'm really good at taking tests. Mm-hmm. So I got Regents, got a really high score. And then I graduated. I graduated in 11th grade with a 67 average.
So your mother was aware of what was going on?
No. No. But my mom was a single mom working, like, two jobs and going to school herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she, like, to have time, like, to go all... Like, I went to school in Flushing.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Flushing High School, which was 2 hours away from Far Rockaway.
Damn.
So...
How are you getting over there?
Dollar van to a bus to a bus.
So you had to, like, be determined to get there. No wonder you were cutting class.
And no wonder you were showing up at fourth period.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. I was lazy. But, yeah, I was just a good test taker. And I went to, like to graduate early, like, because it was, like, certain classes I would miss, like, economics in 12th grade. I went to night school.
Did you go to prom?
Yeah, man, I was, I don't know, did you guys grow up in New York?
We grew up in Westchester.
Westchester, yeah. Okay, Westchester is different than the city, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, in New York, back then, it was like, if you fly... You're like the most popular kid.
Sure.
So I was the most popular kid.
Okay.
Like, by the way, that's the same for any school.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
but
yeah,
it yeah. But really, like it like I got to Flushing in like 10th grade and like
killed him.
Like yeah, in like 3 months, my cousins were already there and they were like nobodies. And then like in 3 months
damn, like, are they listening to this?
Yeah, but it's like they probably are. Yeah. But like my cousins like they started being like, oh, that's Jason's cousin.
Damn.
And they already was there.
Where do you get your fly from?
My brother.
Yeah?
Yeah, man. My brother, he was an amazing brother. He used to buy me whatever I wanted.
What did he dress with?
Back then it was like Vansons and Pels and Morris and Pradas and Invisu.
Damn.
And yeah, it was like Bape. Yeah, it was like that back then.
And did you get hand-me-downs or did you get like straight up new stuff?
Both.
Yeah.
Both, man. I like his jersey, like he had every jersey. Like
whoa.
Every jersey and every jersey like when he had the jackets. Mm-hmm. He had every jersey, so he used to wear it out and then the next day I wore it. And then the next day he sold it.
So he didn't just give it to you as soon as everybody started wearing like button ups. And he was just like, these aren't cool anymore.
Nah.
Like now you get all the jerseys.
Nah, bro. He looked out for me. Like as a brother, like he looked out for me.
Was it matchy matchy stuff?
Nah, man. I feel like I was like the first in my school who stopped wearing matching clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And who started wearing like tighter jeans,
mm-hmm.
because like back then it was like you wore tighter jeans is like what's going on,
right. So what was your shoe collection like in high school?
Jordans, Tim's, Bapes, Maurice, every single color of Prada, American Cup, every color.
And you wore your shit,
bro, all the time. I like now I'm like all black.
Yeah.
Like I'm muted. Like now I'm understated. Now I wear H&M every day.
So you just went to school just to show out?
Hell yeah.
It wasn't for any of the classes.
I mean, you fucking loved math, though. You were there. You were just like...
No, yo. I went to math class.
Yeah.
Because like it's actually something I actually liked.
Mm-hmm.
And my I went to art because my art teacher, she was hot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but...
Did she respect your fresh?
I think she commented a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but... It's sad that people are vain, like, mm-hmm. and so it's like you could be the ugly dude and you be fly, mm-hmm. and girls think you are Denzel or something.
Yeah,
like Biggie. Like no, but it's true. Yeah, but that's how it is.
Yeah. Thank God you didn't go to a private school. Imagine you like dressing up like the same thing as everybody else all the time, every day.
Oh, bro, I would have been on Will Smith. Like me, I would have been fly.
Is there anything you had as a kid that you gave away that you're mad you gave away?
Oh, so much, man. I think everything I've ever given away. Like now, I don't give away clothes. Like my personal clothes,
mm-hmm.
I don't give away. But yeah, man. And a lot of things were like stolen. Like because back then, I would like especially like going into college, I would leave like stuff at home, and then like my brother friend would come to our basement or like one of my cousins and then it goes missing. And
so let's put this into perspective. Everybody talks about how Harlem turns out the most fly people around. And the only competition that Harlem people talk about, if they talk about it, is Brooklyn. Where exactly does Queens rank then?
Queens is the flyest. Queens is the flyest. Nah, Harlem is the flyest. I feel like a lot of styles definitely derive from Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, for sure. A lot of the influence, the gaudiness, the flamboyance. Like,
well, who do you hold like on to? Like, are you when 50 was wearing like all the fitteds or like the bulletproof vests or the like, you know, the big jeans, were you just like, yo, that's us? Or was it like LL or
nah,
like,
bro? Nah, I never liked 50 style. Nah, yeah. Like I feel like probably back in the 80s we definitely had it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, with like Reverend Run and
Run-DMC.
Run-DMC and definitely LL Cool J.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think definitely like back in the 80s we had it, and we also had like I feel like we had like a lot more like street cred back mm-hmm. then too, like, you know, with a lot of things was going on. But yeah, I feel like you don't go to Queens, like if you're from Queens and you get fly, that's because you either chilling in like Soho or you're coming to Manhattan or coming to Harlem or something like that. Or, yeah, I don't think people in Queens, like, get fly. Like, just to
no, get they get Chinese food, though. Yeah.
Good Chinese food.
Yeah, that's why I go to Queens.
But it's, I feel like Queens is, like, when your parents make it from Brooklyn, they move to Queens.
Okay.
And then when your parents make it from Queens, they move to Long Island.
Yeah.
And if Harlem... If your parents made it, you go to Jersey. Like, you know?
By the time you're getting ready to graduate high school, 11th grade,
mm-hmm.
so early, are you afraid of, like, what is out there and what could be, or are you excited about it?
No, man, because by that time, all my friends is either older, 1 year older than I am, or they're 2 years older than I am. No one ever knew my age.
Because you're black.
Definitely because I'm black. No, but no one knew my age. No one knew my age. Like my friends really thought like I was in like the ones who were my friends growing up, they thought that I was the same age as they were. I cut classes just like them, which was true.
Mm-hmm.
They thought I failed classes just like them, which wasn't true.
Right.
And yeah, none of them graduated.
But you got out of there.
Yeah.
You crossed that stage.
Crossed the stage.
And where'd you go?
Hofstra.
Out to the island.
Mm-hmm.
And what were you planning to major in out there?
Economics.
Okay, thought, so still on that, like, numbers.
Yeah, I thought economics was it. And then I got there, and I was like, man. It's a lot of reading, and it's a lot of contradiction.
So you lived out there, or did you commute?
I lived on campus.
Right on. And what was your freshman year roommate like?
He was weird, bro. he was weird, man. I started in the fall, and he didn't wear, like, he only wore shorts the whole winter.
Where was he winter. From?
Out in Long Island.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
He's some Long Island kid.
Yeah. He wore shorts the whole...
But they weren't cool shorts.
This wasn't fashion forward?
Nah, bro.
Like, they were, like, probably, like, cargo shorts.
Nah, but he...
He was on some Survivor tip.
Yeah, but, I mean, the good thing about him, like, he was super clean.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to bake all the time.
Wait, like, okay.
Smoke?
No.
Oh.
And you, right.
So bake.
Not bake. Yeah, bake, yeah. Bake, and clean, not clean, like, you know, hashtag clean, like his, like, you know, his fit was clean.
So wait, so he was baking, like, baked goods for you?
He was baking baked goods for everybody. Him.
And you thought he was weird?
No, he was weird.
He was making you, like, muffins.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he was wearing shorts.
The shorts in the winter, like when it was like a snowstorm and he still had on shorts, I was like...
Not normal.
No. And
it's hot in the kitchen.
Our dorm was the furthest dorm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we was like in C-Square East or Far East. Mm-hmm. It was like far.
I'm going to be honest. I have no idea where C-Square East is and how far in relation to the rest of the campus it is.
Man,
but I'm gonna trust you on this one.
Right. It's like a mile.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a mile to... all the way to...
In shorts. Yeah. Yeah.
Freezing
nah.
cold.
Yeah, nah.
Was it the same pair of shorts?
I don't remember.
You're a stylist.
Bro. But I wasn't looking at it like back then. Like, I wasn't looking at, like, styling. Like, I was only looking at what I was wearing.
Right.
So, were you still fly at Hofstra?
Yes.
Same, like, jerseys? Same, like, shoes?
Nah, probably not jerseys. By that time, I was, like, into the, like, designer clothing and, like, designer clothing. Like Marcella.
To class?
Yeah.
And you were a child wearing Margiela.
Yeah, but
yeah, wait,
that's
yeah.
amazing.
You entered college as a young man too. This wasn't like even normal like age.
Yeah, yeah. I was in like Bape hoodies and stuff, like, because that was like really popular. But
the full,
like,
zip up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I got a job at Nordstrom, so I learned
out there,
uh-huh. Roosevelt Field. So I learned a lot about like brands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also. I used to shop a lot at Century 21.
Mm-hmm.
And Century 21 had, like, the international designers. And so I just used to buy a whole bunch of international designers. Like,
so how did you make your style your own, even back then?
Man, I was just a risk taker. I was having fun.
Like what?
Like, I don't know. Like, I had, like, this yellow tweed DKNY jacket that I used to wear all the time. And I would pair it with, like... some blue fitted jeans and like my black, I had these black Louis Vuitton like lace up boots that I used to wear all the time and like a Bape shirt.
You were really out here.
Yeah, I was into it, but like that was like the era. I don't know, you guys remember this era?
Yeah,
Ugg boots and Juicy Couture sweats.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still in that era. Shout out to all my girls in Long Island. Yeah, yeah.
That's real Long Island.
It was crazy.
Yeah, and the North Face.
Do you remember? It was this. All the girls started wearing like these like yoga type pants.
Yep.
That was it was like something till, I forgot the name of it, but it was like this, it was like these yoga like pants, looked like she was about to do like karate or something. But yeah, everybody, all the girls were wearing that with Ugg boots, and I was like, man, y'all look crazy,
right?
Crazy, like, good.
Yeah, yeah. No, but it's funny though, because like that whole North Face style is now like way, way, way back in. So it's like these things come around and like
soon... You rocking it?
Hell yeah.
Yo, listen, I'm ready for the Uggs to come back.
The Uggs are back.
No,
the Uggs are back. I can get you a pair. You want a pair? Let me know. What size?
Yeah.
And what was working at Nordstrom like?
I worked in Kids Wear Boys, so I sold a lot of like suits, like around like it's not that communion, but
bar mitzvahs. Oh,
bar mitzvahs. Yeah.
Bar mitzvahs.
Hell yeah.
A lot of those.
A lot of suits.
Commission?
Oh, 14%.
Oh,
what? But our stuff is much cheaper, but 14% on, like, they were buying, like, two suits at once.
Damn.
Like, it was retarded.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's for the service, and then it's for the party after.
Were you concerned with, like, their fits, or were you just like, let's get the suits and get them out of here?
Wow.
The latter.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Good luck getting hired at Nordstrom, man.
Nordstrom has never hired me.
So how long did you last at Nordstrom?
Like, 10 months.
Okay.
How was your fold game?
Horrible. Still is.
Still is?
Still is.
That's why you've an assistant.
Yeah.
Was there a point where you thought, like, maybe you would elevate to another part of the store? Or
yeah, I thought I was going to go to shoes.
Oh, really?
I tried.
And why? What was the big, like, deal over shoes?
That's where the money was.
Oh, all right. No, but why did they hold you back?
Because the manager was a hater.
Damn.
Like, super hater.
And so
wait, because of you or because of your skills or, like, what?
Like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't, like, popular black guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cool.
Oh, so he was white?
No, he was a black guy.
Oh. Mm. And he was threatened by that?
I guess. Yeah. That's how I felt.
Yo, yeah. Shouts to him. Shouts to you listening out there. Yeah. Still working in the Nordstrom shooters department.
He is.
Yeah. Is he really?
Yeah, he's still at Nordstrom.
After Nordstrom, you're still on campus. Mm-hmm. You're still focused on your numbers.
Mm-hmm.
When do you start to transition into something more creative?
I started working at a hospital after that, working in the kitchen, like making plates of foods for people. And I was working with like all convicts.
Whoa.
Like all my coworkers are convicts.
How did you end up in this situation?
Because they offered me $16 an hour.
All right. Yeah.
At 18 years old. Like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Still a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I was making a shitload of money, staying on campus, going 5 minutes to work. And then I started interning. And I started interning at a magazine called Elle.
Yeah.
And then from Elle, even though I wasn't getting paid, and I was paying to go there, it became more interesting than this job that was paying me $16 an hour. And then on my day off, literally, just like Friday the movie, I got fired. Got fired. My boss told me that my interest doesn't seem to be at the job. And I'm more passionate about whatever else I have going on.
How do you find yourself interning for Elle in the first place?
I first started off applying for Vibe because that's the magazine I knew.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like really into Vibe because I was into like what you would call hypebeast today. And so I applied for Vibe, declined, applied for Vibe again, declined. So now I'm like, man,
there's like, got to be another magazine.
There has to be another magazine. Like, I knew I didn't want to go to Essence because, like, it was more, like, women-based.
Mm-hmm.
Right, not like Elle.
I'm trying to tell you. But, and then I went on this site. I found this site. It was called ed2010.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, like, I found it, like, 3 o'clock in the morning.
That was all, like, the magazine jobs, all mm-hmm. editorial shit. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what Elle was.
Didn't know anybody over there?
I didn't even know what Elle was.
Didn't like, take the L. Like,
yeah. Yeah, didn't take the L. Yeah. But yeah, I knew the name. I knew like E L L E. And so I was like, man, like I'm gonna apply. And I applied and went to sleep. I woke up probably like 8 a.m. I got an email back at like at 7 a.m. saying, hey, can you come in for an interview? I'm
holy
hyped.
Shit, they were desperate, bro.
Definitely desperate. Yeah, yeah, yeah. If they took me, yeah. I was desperate. I applied and it was like, I was like, oh, I can come in tomorrow for an interview. And I went in and I thought I was fly, bro. This was the ugliest outfit I ever wore in my life.
Which was what?
A purple velour, like I think it was Kenneth Cole blazer.
First of all, into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Into
bro,
everything
yeah,
about
yeah.
this.
Bro, a DKNY, like beige and brown pinstripe button up shirt, a gray and beige pinstripe DKNY pant, a pair of Coach Brown loafers, and bro, I thought I was killing it.
By you the were way, the Roosevelt Field Mall. What?
Yeah, no, yeah. If you flash forward a whole bunch of years and you have Russell Westbrook walking into an arena with that right now, killing it.
Nah, bro. Bro, I'm telling you.
The talk of Twitter.
Bro, yeah. I can't even believe I still, like, I remember this outfit.
It was traumatic for you.
Yeah, it was horrible, man. Because I walked in and everybody was, like, so stylish. And I'm like, damn, I look crazy.
Yeah.
And
so it was just like Devil Wears Prada.
It was definitely like Devil Wears Prada.
Like going up the escalator.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a nice building, nice office. It was like everyone, all the fashion assistants, they were in heels. It was like, it was nice.
Yeah.
And I applied. I got there, did the interview with the fashion assistant who worked the closet. And then he was like, oh, I want you to do some more interviews. And I had like 5 interviews in an hour. I met with every single fashion assistant.
Whoa.
And then I left, took the long journey on public transportation back home to Hofstra. And by the time I got to Hofstra, I got the email saying I got the internship.
What's going through your head? Like, do you think that's like a big deal to you?
Oh, yeah, I was hyped.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. Like, again, now I know how glamorous it was, like walking in.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, I didn't even know like what it was. But now I know, I was hyped.
So as an intern, what are some of the things they had you doing?
Get coffee.
Yeah.
Can't do it. You can't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, now you get paid for it.
Yeah.
Get coffee.
So like run down, get all the orders right.
Yeah, I got coffee. I picked up photographs from a shoot. I dropped off stuff to a shoot. Dry cleaners.
Yeah.
I sat in cars waiting.
Yeah.
Cleaned the closet. Reorganized the closet again over and over and over again. Set up for run throughs. Pick up clothes. It was a lot.
If you look back at it now, were you a good intern, a great intern, or terrible?
I was an amazing intern.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, man. I have a relationship with every single one of my bosses.
Wow.
And now they're like huge editors.
That's dope.
Yeah.
So how long was that internship?
10 months.
What are some of the things that you really learned at their elbow?
I learned a lot about fashion. I didn't know much about fashion. I didn't know as much as I knew about. I thought I knew about.
Well, you walked in there with that purple blazer and, you know.
Bro, I'm trying to tell you. But, yeah, man, it was like I learned about designers and creative directors and also learned about requesting and returns and how to properly set up for photo shoots. I learned about how important teamwork is.
Mm. Well, who are some of the editors over there who really had an impact on you and, like, you saw, like, they had a vision?
A lot. Like, Melina Joseph, Gilchrist, now she's married. Jade Frampton, Jen Gatch, Annie Landino. When I was there, Nino Garcia was the fashion director.
Wow.
Now she's editor-in-chief.
Yeah.
Josie was there during that time. Kate Lamfer was there during that time. Kyle Anderson, who's now the fashion director, he was there during that time. Yeah, it was a good time.
Was Nina doing Project Runway?
Yeah, she just started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Did you ever get to go?
No, bro. I was like the intern, but Nina, I was a really good intern, and then when I left, I wrote Nina like a card.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, thank you so much for the opportunity and everything. And she ended up calling me into her office. Like, I never spoke to her before this. She ended up calling me into her office and, you know, she said, thank you. It's just like, if you ever need anything, let me know. And until that day, she shows me so much love. She shows, like, I saw her probably like 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
And she shows me so much love.
What separated Elle from everybody else?
L was my first gauge on how magazines are, and I thought it was tough. But then when I went to my next magazine, L was heaven.
What was the next magazine?
W.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. So the Condé Nast.
Yeah.
So now you're going to, that's still on 42nd Street, so you're going down to...
It was on, at that time, on 3rd Avenue and 44th or 45th. Mm.
So what are the lunch options like, first of all?
I discovered the first dollar pizza.
Oh, all right. Over there. Yeah.
So
Dollar pizza.
Yeah, yeah, I was doing dollar pizza for a long time. And it was like this small, like the space is 10 by 10. And it's still there today.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the first dollar pizza in New York.
Yo,
they should expand it before everybody.
Yo, straight up, like there's a lot of people today who, all the kids, I know it's cliche to say, but all the kids are like, you know, I want everything now. I want it fast. I don't want to put in the work. Like, I should get it immediately. I want the returns right away. You put in work and you weren't getting paid, or if you were getting paid, it wasn't that much, and you put in the time.
I wasn't getting paid.
How did you like sort of rectify that in your own mind that, like, you know what, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to work. I'm going to maintain relationships, and I'm going to get to a point where I know more and I'll go on to the next step of the ladder right after.
I didn't know. I had a very, very supportive mom my mom gave me like $20 a day and like to help me pay for food and transportation. Like, cause by that time, like I told you, I got fired from my job.
Yeah.
And I wasn't working at Nordstrom as either. So I was staying at home, and my mom, she gave me, by the time I was at W, I was staying at home, and my mom gave me $20 a day. Mm. And I used to travel every day to my internship.
It's dope. Did your brother or anybody like older than you be like, yo, this is the path and like I see it for you? Or were you just like, let me just try this?
No, my brothers thought it was they thought it was gay.
Oh, okay.
They was like, yeah. It was like, Jay, you got something to tell me. I was like, nah. But
I know your brother like was making fun of you, but like, did you in any way feel like conflicted? Like, what, you know, this is a weird path for me, or not a weird path, but like a stranger path to go into fashion when nobody else around me is going into fashion?
No, but by that time, I was so confident in who I was, and my friends, who I surrounded myself with, were so diverse, and like some were straight, some were gay, and I had this confidence on and knowing who I was. So no, I didn't feel a type of way. Growing up in an urban neighborhood where it's you don't really see much about fashion back then. You didn't know anything about fashion. You didn't know what a fashion stylist was. You didn't know what a fashion editor was. And I think at that time my brother was just ignorant.
Also at that time, any runways, you're probably not getting a lot of the hip-hop community there. You're not seeing a lot of rappers or R&B singers or actors that are African-American in a lot of editorials. So what was that like for you at a place like W?
There wasn't any. Like, there was, like, I was the only black guy, period. I was the only black person on the fashion side, period. There was one black person who worked on the corporate side at L. At W, there was a senior fashion accessories editor, senior accessories editor, who you guys may know, Shiona Tarini. Mm-hmm. She was the senior fashion editor there at that time, and she was probably, like, one of the highest-ranked black editors. So to be at a magazine where you have one of the highest ranked black editors, you saw that you were able to become her, mm-hmm. or even higher. Mm-hmm. And she was very supportive of me at that time.
But in terms of like people that you would style, did you find that it was like balanced, or did you find that it was just like a lot more white people?
Style as far as what?
As would end up on the pages of the magazine.
Oh, yeah. Back then it was like definitely. Yeah. Like, I mean, you got to think. Like, even with the campaigns and the fashion shows and like everything that's happening, the transition of diversity is only happening right now.
Yeah. How long do you last at W?
9 months.
And so, okay. So we're looking at a lot of things where it's like, About a year. Was there any part of you that was like, I want to be a career guy at one of these publications?
Yeah, of course.
Well, not W.
No. I actually wanted to, because it was at that time I knew fashion. Mm-hmm. At least I thought I did. Mm-hmm. I knew fashion. I knew what I liked. And W was the magazine I liked. And the stress didn't bother me. Like, I used to get there at like 9 and leave at 11 p.m. 9 a.m. and leave at 11 p.m. The stress didn't bother me because I loved it.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you were young and you were hungry.
Yeah. Like, L, you get like the commercial pieces. Like, L, you would get like they would have to shoot like Lucky Brand because Lucky Brand advertised. So they would have to shoot like Juicy Couture.
And just then, because Juicy Couture is popping, though, so that's different.
But W, it was like fashion, man. It was like McQueen, Nina Ricci, Helmut Lang. It was just like all the big fashion brands that like was about. It wasn't about commercialized things. It was about the fantasy, the art. And so for me, that's what I wanted to do.
Did you find that W would take risks, though? Because you know, those are names, even still, like those aren't unknown designers.
Yeah, definitely. You have W had a strong team back then. So they had Alex White as the fashion director, who to me is probably the greatest fashion director of the last 20 years. She was so big on romance, and she did amazing. Like her muse was like Laura Stone. So her and Laura Stone used to always do like amazing editorials together. And then you had Camilla Nickerson, who's now over at Vogue. Mm-hmm. And Camilla Nickerson was edgy. Like she was, it was raw. It was black. Sorry, it was sex. And Camilla Nickerson gave you the deep dark side of art and fashion that we love.
What magazine, like what fashion magazine would you guys all make fun of?
Back then?
Yeah.
Lucky.
Hey guys, just want to interrupt this podcast to remind you once again that if you really fuck with It's the Real, if you fuck with Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies, if you fuck with our live shows, if you fuck with our merch, if you fuck with our music, if you fuck with our grand plans to take over 2019, there is one place and one place only for you to keep up with It's the Real and find out all the interesting and dynamic things that we have planned for this year. Jeff, where is that?
That's in our newsletter. But by the way,
yes,
somebody just said to us on Instagram that we curse too much, and you are not helping that by saying that F word.
Oh, no.
That flagrant, that foul, that...
Forget about it.
The forget about it.
I'm just trying to get people on our side, Jeff.
Yeah, just subscribe to our effing newsletter.
That's right. And the way you can go do that is DM us on Instagram or Twitter and send us your email address. Or you can go to itsthereal.com and go to our contact page and put your email information there.
Or just email Jeff at itsthereal and, you know, I'll respond.
Figure it out.
Yeah. F you.
That's right.
All right.
Now back to the podcast.
Yeah.
What brands did you get put onto early that you're like really proud of for seeing even back then?
Back then, as an intern,
mm-hmm.
I don't even remember.
No.
But as a stylist early, yeah. I can definitely like Alexandre Vauthier. Like that was someone who I supported like really early on in his career, in my career as well. Mm-hmm. Nicola Formichetti when he was at Terry Mugler.
When did you decide for yourself that you're like, all right, I see where I fit in and maybe I can do something on my own?
I started after that. I discovered an internship opportunity with a celebrity stylist who was styling Alicia Keys at the time. His name was Worry Vice. And I found Worry, I think through a friend or something. Yeah, it was through a friend, and it was on a photo shoot. And I was like, man, I want to be an intern. And he didn't have an assistant that day, so I stayed the whole day. Even though I was just coming to drop something off for my friend, I stayed the whole day just assisting him. And that was for editorial. And then the next week, he was like, oh, do you want to help me out? I'm doing a shoot. Didn't tell me what the shoot was. I'm just going around picking up clothes and everything. And then I get to, we were shooting at the Rivington Hotel. And get to the hotel, and we're shooting Alicia Keys.
Wow.
And for me, Worry really inspired me, because the reason why I fell in love with Vibe is because Vibe made high fashion relatable to who I am. I'm a kid from an impoverished neighborhood. I don't know what Christian Lacroix is. I didn't know what Margiela was. I didn't know what Chanel was. Didn't know what Louis Vuitton was. But by pairing it with a pair of Nikes, or pairing it with a pair of bamboo earrings, or pairing it with a pair of Tims, I understood the brand more. So that's what Warrior did for me with Alicia Keys, where I would see the look, the same look that Warrior has on set for Alicia. I would see it at W Magazine, and they shooting the look from head to toe. But then get to Alicia Keys set, and Alicia is wearing it with a pair of Tims and a bamboo earring. And so for me, I was like, man, I want to be a celebrity stylist.
Right then and there.
Right then and there.
So how'd you put that plan into action?
I just started working on Warrior projects a lot more. Like, I was doing 5 days at W. I went to like 3 days. And I went to Warrior for 2 days. But then I went to 2 days at W. Then I went to Warrior for 3 days. And then June Ambrose had this opportunity on BET Ripped the Runway. And she was like, she's looking for three stylists. And I went for an interview to be one of the stylists in this competition. And she chose me.
Whoa.
And then I styled a segment. And then I got this girl group as clients right after. It was called Electric Red.
Oh yeah.
Binky, Leslie, Naomi, Dreams.
Were they working with Neo?
Dream.
Oh, yeah.
Dream's right. Artist. Yeah. So I got them as a client. And then I was working with them on their project, like when they were like dropping, doing all the press and stuff. And that was like my first celebrity client. Then I got Carlene Ballin as my agent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which was dope because she was still working for Jay at the time. And like she, like full time, she was Jay's assistant.
Right.
But then she had this agency with like a whole bunch of stylists.
Right.
And makeup artists and hairstylists.
Question. Could you get two tickets to go see Jay?
I didn't get tickets. Me and Ye was in the same boat. I think I wore too many double collars.
Or not enough.
Yeah, or not enough.
Yeah.
Slotted sunglasses and all that.
Yeah.
No, but she was definitely, she's someone who, even today, man, I look up to because she was one of the hardest working people I've ever met. Like the way she's able to balance things and make magic happen. She is the one who I learned from that impossible is possible because she made anything happen.
What was the hardest thing that she like put together?
I saw her put like Mary J. Blige's birthday party together in like a week. Like, and it was like sand, like in the winter.
In New York
was a snowstorm and it was like sand.
Well, if it's a snowstorm, you can get sand anywhere. Because they got that shit all over the streets. So I'm not that impressed.
You're not that impressed at all.
So you have Carlene as your agent at this point. What are some of the opportunities that she brings to you?
Rock Nation had this artist named Range. I don't know if you remember. So she bought me two opportunities on the same day. And you guys can tell me if I chose the wrong opportunity.
All right.
It's at the Range.
Yeah. So she bought me this R&B guy named Range. Mm-hmm. And then she bought me a music video with, I'm styling Wale, but the video features Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
On the same day.
So which one did you choose?
Which one did you think I chose?
Range.
I definitely chose Range.
Well, what did you see in Range?
Yeah.
Bro, I was like, I don't know, man. I was like, I didn't want to style rap for her.
Nike boots.
Yeah, bro. But it was a big difference.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
But then I started doing like more like R&B guys. I started doing Jeremiah. I was doing Lloyd. I emailed a person one day, like their manager, and I was like, man, I want to work with you. And manager responded, was like, oh, cool. Like, you need a stylist. And it was this pop star named Jay Sean.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Totally.
And his manager ended up being his wife.
Wow.
Like, so
Jay Sean was Cash Money?
Yeah. Cash Money. Yeah. So I was doing like a Cash Money video like every week.
Dude. Whoa.
Wait, but do you get paid for those?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because <Yes. laughs> let me tell you, a lot of people didn't get paid on those shoes.
Oh, I got paid.
Yeah.
So just jumping ahead.
Carly don't play.
Yeah. Jumping ahead a little bit, and we'll go back again. But jumping ahead, Rita Ora is one of your clients now. Mm-hmm. Did you know her back then during the Roc Nation days?
Yeah, so I got Rita when she first... I got Rita when she first came to America. So I've been working with Rita now probably about 8 years, seven, 8 years.
Wow.
And I got when she first moved to America. And I remember our first fit in, like, she came in and she was like so swaggy. And then she was like, yeah, I just went shopping. I'm like, cool, where you went shopping from? I went to Zara. And I'm like, cool. I'm about to kill this right now. Yeah. Because if you think Zara's high,
let me take you to Century 21. Let me take you to Nordstrom's.
Facts. That's one of the kids wear section. Yeah. I got you. But I had some heat for her. Like, I had like Jean Paul Gaultier, I had like Don and Karen, I had like just like really cool brands.
Well, what is it about her where you guys can mix so well?
Me and Rita?
Yeah.
Her?
Yeah. like 8 years is a long time for anyone to work together, and that's still successful.
Definitely.
So what is it?
I think, you know, with me and Rita is that it's just a great balance. Like, you know, we in a fitted, she has one idea, I have one idea. Probably never agree. But that argument, the fight, the disagreement, that until we get to that final look is magical.
Right. So the steel sharpens steel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you consult with her when she dressed up as
Post Malone?
No, man. That was sick, though. That was sick. No, she didn't even tell me, man. I was surprised.
Yeah.
What if next year Post Malone asks to be Rita Ora?
Yeah.
I think
his tell style him to go is to Zara.
Go to Zara. Yeah. But his style is capping is going to have a hard time.
Yeah. Going to have to do some hair, rearrangements.
He should do the robe look. When she was on a robe and a carpet with the diamonds, he should do that.
So you're working with her.
Should is an interesting word here.
Yeah. you're working with her. You're working in the R&B space. How did you want to sort of like make your mark and let the industry know who you were?
Could I be honest?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't have a game plan.
So it was like day by day?
Yeah, I didn't have a game plan. I was just really, I feel like I just continued to work hard, and I worked like I'm still grinding. Like, even today, I still work like I'm still grinding. Like, so, like, even like some of the jobs I take, I do it because I'm out there like passionate about it, or like it just inspired me. And, you know, during that time, I was just doing projects that I was just continually inspired by. And by the time I was looking down, like, just, like, working. By the time I looked up, I was, like, where all of the people I looked up to I was on their level.
If you look back at it now, what was the benefit of you just like putting your nose down and just like focusing on that one thing rather than considering like, oh, this is how I'm going to play this and this is how I'm going to play this?
I think the benefits is that I can actually afford private school for my kids. My kids aren't going to be in the hood no more.
Yeah. Like, they don't get to choose their outfits though.
Yeah. They don't get to. My kids wear Target. Because, you know, when you live in a better neighborhood, like nobody cares about what you're wearing.
Enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they wear like Target and stuff, but like for me, it's like that. I think that's the only thing that I really came from was like be able to provide a better life for my family.
Yeah. How old are your kids now?
2 and 9.
Wow.
About to be 2 and 9.
How do you make sure that your kids are grounded?
We live a very humble life. My lady's a stay-at-home mom, and she picked my son up from school every day. Take my son to school. She's doing flashcards with my daughter all day. And, like, it's just, it's a really, really, really humble life. Like my kids, we don't buy them designer clothing. We don't take them to fancy restaurants. Like, It's very modest.
Yeah. Where's your mom living now?
My mom passed away 7 years ago.
I'm sorry.
Okay, bro. But like when she passed away 7 years ago, she just, you know, taught us all so much. So we was able to help each other.
Our dad passed away 9 years ago, just last week. And so, you know, I know what it was like for us to go through that. And I also know what it means to reach out to people who lose a parent, like, now. Because I feel like when we went through it, like, it mattered so much about people reaching out to us. So, you know, what was it like for you to go through that? And, you know, I guess not prying too much, but, like, was it expected? Was it, you know...
What wasn't expected for me, it was a little bit hard to show emotion. I actually went to work like a week after. Mm-hmm. Like it was hard to show emotion because my brother at that time, he was incarcerated, my older brother, and so I was the oldest boy, so I had to be the strongest, and I had to be there for my younger sister, younger brother, and I had to be there for my older sister. So, and then at that time, I was the only one who was financially stable, like out of us. I was the only one who was financially stable. So I'm paying for the funeral, and I am not able to show any emotion.
Right.
But, my siblings, they were able to be a rock for me in many different ways than just emotion. Like, they gave me strength to, because at that time, I could have just gave up. Like, 7 years ago, even though I was financially stable in my siblings, I wasn't financially stable. Like, not as a stylist, I couldn't afford to be a stylist. So for my siblings, gave me strength, and my older sister had 4 kids, and my niece and nephews gave me strength, and they gave me that determination to keep going and keep going and keep going. And I'm happy that they were able to do that for me, because I wouldn't be where I am today.
What's one moment in your career where you were just unexpectedly let down by something that happened?
Probably like during that time, like right after, I had an assistant and I was doing a job. I was probably getting paid like I don't know, like $2,000 or something for the job, and like that was like a lot of money. Like, it was like, oh, job, but the person wanted like this $10,000 dress. Right, so I pulled it from like a store, and then my assistant lost the dress, or the personal client stole the dress. It's one or the other. And now I'm getting paid $2,000, but now I have like an $8,000 hit. What do I do? So it was like, it was hard.
That's a nightmare.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. But it's like, I'm a strong believer in you can get through anything. And there's like, I'm not religious at all. Like, not super religious. I'm really spiritual. But when I listen to gospel, and I'm going through something, I listen to gospel, it really helps me get through things. So I just put on Marvin Sapp and Yolanda Adams, and I was chilling.
And you got through it.
I got through it. Like, I mean, I made payment plans, and I paid it off in 3 months.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
You made the impossible possible.
Yeah, yeah. I made the impossible possible. Yeah. Shout out to Carlene Ballon.
Yeah. Yeah. When is the turning point where you become, like, in demand at every, like, runway show, at every like big event happening in the city, every big charity thing? Like, when do people start calling you and you're just like, oh, this is a lot of work right now?
3 years ago, Rita is still a fashion star, and Zayn Malik becoming a star.
Mm.
And so that's when he like separated away from One Direction.
What do you think separated yourself from all the other stylists out there?
Hard work. Like, I don't think I'm the best stylist. Like there's some stylists when they put things together, I'm like, wow, like, this is amazing. Like, you can style me. but I don't think there's many stylists who can outwork me. Like, I work crazy hours.
What differentiates a stylist besides just style?
Looking for what's next and then being on making your clients aware of what's next. Bringing brands to your client that is true to their brand or their current campaign. Building relationships. Yeah, that's it.
So I feel like, you know, it's one of those things where a lot of people from the outside are probably like, you know, what is this? Like, you just shop for people, you know?
Nah, bro. I wish it was just shopping, man. Like, it's so many things that we have to do. It's like you have to get the support from like a lot of these brands. It's like you have to support them. So it's like you're going to their shows, you're going to have dinners with their designer, you're going to their press day. When you shoot an editorial, you calling in their stuff. So I mean, it's definitely a lot of stuff that you do. Like, but for me, to go back to your questions, like, you know, even though like 3 years ago, that was like the first time where I felt like I was becoming more in demand. This Christmas was the first time I felt like I was a big stylist. Because the gifts I got were different.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, they got me real gifts this year. Like, before, I was getting, like, the throwaway gifts.
Yeah, like now, iTunes gift card.
Yeah. Now I'm getting, like real gifts.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Well, are you surprised at the fact that you know, you're getting clients that are not just the stereotypical people who are into fashion? Like, your clients are in music, your clients are in sports, your clients may go, like, even deeper into other businesses. It's not just for the, like, super elite now. It's for, like, people who are accessible, who are out there on social media, and who want to just shine in their own right, and they come to you. Are you surprised at that?
I'm surprised at every opportunity, man.
Yeah?
Like, no, seriously. Like, I take it as a blessing, and I'm totally grateful for every single opportunity. Even like when people, I was on a text today with a new client that I'm working with, and it's like a young kid, he's an actor, and I spoke to his publicist on the phone. Publicist is a friend of mine, and she was like, yeah, I brought you up to him, and he knew your work and said that he was a fan of your work. And I was like, oh, she's just telling me bullshit. Like, this is not true.
Yeah.
And then when I was on text with him, he was like, oh, yeah, man, I've been following your work for a long time. And I'm like, what? Like, I wouldn't even think you don't even know who I was.
That's dope.
Like, I mean, but the part of it, even more so than the opportunities of work and meeting these new talent and working with these new talent, when these young kids come up to me and they know my work and they tell me that I inspire them to become a stylist or to work in fashion. And when they're in my DMs and they're hitting me, like I just did like one of those questions thing, and I didn't want to do it, but I felt like
on Instagram.
Yeah. I didn't want to do it because I was like, man, like I didn't want to feel like fake, but
or accessible.
No. Accessibility is cool because I respond to DMs.
Yeah.
But I think more so for me, I just didn't want to seem like, you know, I didn't want to give answers that were not genuine.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, yeah, because you're putting yourself out there and it's like a very political, you know.
You have to.
Yeah. Like right. Instagram is like out there for everybody. Yeah.
And so I didn't want to feel disingenuous. And so I did it. I just did it. And it was probably the best thing that I ever did because I was able to answer questions for people who probably don't have anyone. Like, in the beginning, probably the first 3 years of my career, I didn't have anyone to ask questions to. So if a person's starting off in 6 months, 3 months, and they have questions and they want to ask me questions, I'm going to give them the answer.
Do you have any moments that you look back at and you're just like, yo, I helped create that? Like, that was a moment.
2018 was a big year for me, I think, aesthetically. I think there were two huge moments for 2018 for me that I'm blessed and grateful and so excited that I was a part of. The first one is Issa Rae went all black designers at the CFDA Awards.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a huge moment. I thought it was a huge moment for the culture. And then the second one was Ezra Miller in the Montclair at the Fantastic Beasts premiere. Like, that look, hate it or love it, that look was like the most talked about look this year.
Do you get nervous before meeting someone for the first time, like a Gucci?
I don't know Gucci,
mm-hmm.
because Gucci's the coolest motherfucker on earth.
Yeah.
He's actually my favorite person.
Well, I would just think that, like, because we haven't met him either, but like...
Oh, you guys haven't met him?
Not yet, no. Not yet.
Oh, man.
I know.
Okay.
But there's an idea in my head where it's just like, he has this aesthetic and he understands himself, like, at this point in his life, and it's just like, there's a confidence there, and it's just like, well, how do you take that and, like, elevate it?
He's also... what. The thing about Gucci Mane is that he's a team player. So, and he believes in, he respects people's craft, and he also understands, like, you know, if I'm hiring you, that means that you at a certain level. Mm. So I'm going to trust your vision. Like, and man, he's probably my favorite person to work with.
That's awesome.
He's amazing.
I mean, he was also, like, super playful in that photo for the New York Times cover.
Oh,
where
my
had,
God.
Like, the
Times
flower.
Magazine?
Yeah.
Amazing.
He's amazing. Yeah. I can't wait for you guys to meet him.
Yeah, no, yeah. Totally.
I hope you guys interview him because he's dope.
Yeah. Odell Beckham Jr. We went to a Fashion Week thing a couple years ago, and this is maybe after his, like, first breakout year. And he was there, mm-hmm. and he was getting a little attention, and then it's just become like, oh no, he's everywhere in fashion, and like a big player in terms, not just on the field, but like in this world. How do you take what he has already built and push it?
For Odell, he has been on the cusp of streetwear probably for the last 4 years, so... I feel like I can't even elevate him in that way, like, because he has been like one of the forefront on street culture, streetwear culture,
yeah.
From wearing Supreme to making a brand like a Mary Hot, like he has been that person,
yeah.
Like, so
does he consult with you on his hair?
Nah, bro. I don't think I consult with any client on glam.
Really?
On glam.
It's not just like part of the whole like package. Like,
nah. I think females more so. Like, mm-hmm. you know, because like they want references and they want this and that and they want the moment and the look. But guys, I feel like they don't even want you to know they have a stylist.
Mm. That's interesting.
So I fall back.
Does anybody come to you and say, yo? And you're like, well, what are your interests, or what are you thinking, and what's your vision? What's your vision board, whatever? Does anyone ever say like yellow?
You just did.
Yo, my 2019 is all about yellow. Like, no, just like, but, the feeling. The,
what, mine's all about coral, to be honest. I'm doing that Pantone color. Yeah.
No, but that would be dope.
Yeah.
That would be dope.
All right. We'll see. We'll try it.
The black looks great, though.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I've been working hard at that. Yeah. okay. Odell, Issa Rae, Gucci Mane.
Spike Lee.
Are there so many people reaching out now, honestly, where you are able to turn down business because you're just like, I can't give you everything that I would want to? And is that a blessing and a curse?
Definitely. I think more so it's haven't determined how projects I actually want to do. Like, yeah, there's a project next week that I'm probably going to have to turn down.
There's only so many days in the year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like turning down work that you actually want to do, you know, but you have to sometimes also like choose sanity. And so if I'm able to spend one day with my daughter, but I'm not able to work with that one person I want to work with, I'm going to spend that one day with my daughter.
Are you like Kanye in the sense where you're like, I have to get my whole family looking right and like every extended member of my family is going to look right and we're all going to
be head to toe bald man?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Wow.
No, not at all. I have a rule. If you're my friend or my family, I will never work with you.
So Cam Kirk was up here, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was like, and Jeff was like, have you photographed your parents? And he was like, no, and I never will. And he's like, I have a rule that I just won't. I want to separate, you know, my business from my personal life.
Yeah. For me, it's like family and friends take things more personal than my clients. Like my clients could yell, scream, like they could say they hate something. They could threaten to fire me, whatever the case may be.
Or yeah, your mom can't fire you.
Well, no,
yeah.
Your family can fire you.
No, they definitely can fire you.
There could be like a family meeting and be like, hey, like you need to... go away.
But it's like I don't want anyone to hold on to a grudge.
Yeah.
Or I don't want to feel type of way towards my family. Mm. And for me, like my lady, she does a great job like making sure the kids are like dressed and stuff. Mm-hmm. She even dresses me sometimes. My son dresses me a lot.
Is that right?
Yeah, like because my son wants me to look a certain way. So,
which
like,
is what? Yellow. He wants,
yeah.
Yellow, for sure. My son wants me to look like a hype beast.
Yeah. So
he goes in my closet and like he pulls out like all the hype beast stuff.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, dress me. And he would be good with the first item he gives me. And then the next item he gives me is like a little bit hype beast. And then the next item he gives me is like, oh, you look like I look like a 16-year-old kid.
Yo. Yeah,
when I'm dressed by him,
you got that off-white belt. Like,
yeah. But I let him do it. I let him do it sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah, I let him dress me sometimes.
That's dope.
Yeah,
he's the 2-year-old.
Not yet. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was like, man,
that'd be dope though.
Yeah,
that'd be dope. I should get my daughter to be a stylist now.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Instagramization of fashion?
How so?
Where it's just like, because I feel like that's what sort of like made fashion very accessible, but also very important to a lot of people in a way that it probably wasn't this, like when we were all growing up, I don't think it was as important in people's lives as it is now. Like, I think now it's like, not only are you showing off for your friends and, you know, you're wearing pieces that make sense for your lives, but now it's like you have to wear stuff that makes sense for your followers and everybody out there in the quote unquote out there.
You can only wear it once and then like you have to be like in a different outfit.
Yeah, it has to be like colors and it has to be patterns and it has to be bolder.
I think that's like the entertainment industry as a whole is more highly coveted. Mm-hmm. Like, and so that also means that the fashion industry is more coveted. Celebrities are more out there. There's more carpets now. It's more street style now. And so a lot of these, it's on Instagram so much.
Yeah.
Like, and so I think that a lot of people want to keep these aesthetics and to keep the aesthetic of whatever they're putting out into Instagram.
Well, but isn't it also that it makes fashion quote unquote easier? That it's like, as long as it's big or bold, then that makes it good? Like, as long as it's weird?
No. I think that fashion is whatever you make it. It doesn't have to be big, bold. It doesn't have to be small. It doesn't have to be muted. Like, it's whatever you make it. And I think that's what the good thing about, like, I follow, like, a lot of these young, like, style bloggers, and I'm able to see how they put things together, like, things they find on a trip or things they go to the thrift store and they find things. And for me, I get so inspired by them having style and not just having the latest Gucci look or the latest Dior look.
Or when it comes to us, like, we're wearing the latest Pata. You know, we're in...
That is true.
We're in the latest, you know, A-Life.
Yeah.
I like A-Life. A-Life just sent me a dope thing for Christmas.
Yo, shout out to Sandrine.
Yes, Sandrine, the GOAT, babe. Yeah. She's very rich.
Oh, my God. She's so... When you're a star like Sandrine...
Yo, she makes like, a boot look good. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm saying, like, the boot as in...
She hurt her foot.
Yeah. A lot of content from Sandrine.
Yeah.
We're always dripped in the latest, you know, Pata, and I just feel like a lot of people are jealous of that.
Do your clients want you more for their Instagram, or is it with the goal to get them in a June issue of some magazine?
I don't think my clients care about me so much.
Well, like, because I saw your Christmas presents.
No, my Christmas presents are from the brand. I get nice Christmas presents from the brand. I don't know if I got nice Christmas presents from clients. I'm still waiting for it. I mean, I'm waiting for all of you guys.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone who's listening right now.
Russell.
That's right.
Yeah. Everyone. Yeah. We're going to send my address after this.
Yeah.
Maybe they went to the wrong address. Yeah. But I think my clients want me more so to build with them. I think I do a good job with, like, helping them to build and understanding their vision and just elevating their vision and keeping a clear identity and consistency through that campaign. And once you have consistency and clarity of your campaign and it's something that is authentic and genuine and people are following it, brands would want to be more attached to it. Brands being attached to it can get you a campaign, can get you a cover, can get you a lot more things.
Totally. Well, that begs the question then, do you see your world as sort of building towards something? Fashion is a sort of big term, right? It can be a million things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you could work with an artist on more than just the way that they dress?
Yeah. Because I look at it as a business. I don't look at we're wearing A-Life just to wear A-Life. I'm wearing A-Life because I'm going to make A-Life into A-Life 10 years ago and bring it back when A-Life was supreme. And then my client's going to be the face of A-Life. And then my client's going to get a check. And
I wear A-Life because I'm making a statement with my clothes.
But, like, it's like more like thinking the long term of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, and thinking about it as a business, like, you know, because it's like you have to. Clothing is a business. It's fashion industry is very political. And it's like it's either you have to be on the cusp of knowing what's next, or you have to be able to acquire what's the current trend.
Was there ever a trend that you were just like, I really, really, really don't want to do this, and you had a client and they were just like, that's the only thing that I want. I want to have stupid, like fucking bags over my, like, you know, like a fanny pack over my shoulder. I want to have, like, fucking...
Have you tried them?
No.
Okay, so I was against them.
Yeah, same.
I was against them. Like, my son, he wears it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my father-in-law, he's wearing them. He's like 50-something, 60. Like,
is he pulling it off?
Yes, bro. Like, but he, like, he's stylish. Like, he wears, like, triple S. Like, he wears, like, Supreme. Like, he's stylish. Like,
he waits online outside of, like, you know.
Nah, because he.
On Fairfax.
He probably pays a little kid. Okay. To do it. Yeah. Like, he has a few sons. I'm sure he pays somebody. But he was wearing it, and I'm like, bro, like, what are you doing? We went to Carmine's right here.
Yeah.
I'm like, bro, what are you doing? Like, what are you wearing? And then I went to LA, And I went to open the ceremony, and it was like, there was one, and it was like $40. I was like, I'm going to get it. I put it on. I put my stuff in it. I'm walking around all day. I go to dinner with friends. I pull out my card for dinner.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
It's amazing.
No.
So you don't think it's going away?
It's too late now, bro, though.
I don't wear it.
Mm-hmm.
But
you see the purpose in it.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But what about regular fanny pack?
Have another story. So I went to my shopper at Louis Vuitton, who always gets my money, Rudy. Shout out to Rudy.
Shout out to Rudy.
Rudy hits me and he's like, hey, I got a Louis Vuitton fanny pack. All LVs. I'm like, cool. But that's when I just tried the OC one. I'm mm-hmm. like, yeah, I'm going to get it. And he was like, oh, I also have the Virgil's Louis Vuitton bag. Like, mm-hmm. I'm like, cool, I'm going to get it. So I get both bags to the house. Of course, my lady's there. And she opens the box and she was like, oh, you bought me a bag. And I'm like, she's like, I wanted this bag. Of course, of course, I didn't remember that she wanted this bag at all because nope. I don't pay attention.
Right.
So,
but now you remembered correctly.
Yeah. So now I remembered. And I'm like, oh, you did? Oh yeah, you know I got you this bag?
Yeah.
The bag was not for her. And then I get the Virgil Louis Vuitton bag. And I'm like, oh, I'm about to put this on and try it on. I'm too fat for it. Bro, so I'm like, yo, I lost twice. Like, what am I doing?
Could you trade one for the other?
Bro, no, because that was the last one in the store. Like, her bag was the last one in the store. And I didn't want to, if I would have traded and got the same bag as her, she would have been like, oh, you never got this bag for me in the first place.
Oh, no, I'm saying if you convince, like, you're a stylist, you can convince her, like, no, you don't want this one.
No.
You want way more fresh than the other one.
Yeah.
No, She wasn't having it. She really wanted that bag. Like, the trend is your favorite trend, the UGG boots.
Yes,
I had a client who wanted to wear them.
Oh no,
yeah, no. And I was.
Oh, Crocs are back. Like, Crocs are fancy back. Crocs.
No. Yeah, yes, no. They are.
No, you're talking about the Balenciaga ones.
I am
platform
no.
Crocs.
But also, Crocs, look, no. Yo. So I saw Questlove was down at Art Basel, and he was wearing them because you had to wear them on like a yacht because they didn't want to scuff up the like you know the floors or whatever. And he was like, I was so wrong about them. They're my favorite things ever. And he couldn't believe it.
Chefs love them.
Comfortable, but not stylish.
No.
Yeah.
Like, but, I mean, I wear a lot of things that are not stylish. I'm not going to lie to you. I do own a pair of, like, UGG boots, but not the ones that, like, everybody wear, the lace ones.
Mm-hmm.
During the winter, going outside, putting your garbage out at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's
mm-hmm.
freezing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the warmest thing on your feet.
I can't relate. I throw my garbage down the chute.
Yeah. Oh, man. But at least you don't have to shovel no snow.
Yeah, yeah. Very true.
Oh, that's a good thing about having kids. So when you have kids,
mm-hmm. you put them to work.
Yeah. They shovel the snow for you.
They shovel the snow. They style you.
And you know what? You can wear my Uggs out there.
And it's not like interns. You don't have to pay for it. Like, yeah. It's like, it's free.
That's why you had kids.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. You just have to pay for their private school education.
Yeah.
Not yet. But.
All right. We have to talk about airlines.
Oh, let's do it.
So, you are in this elite status of people who fly more than there are days in the year. And that is called, again, the concierge card?
Concierge key.
Oh, key. I'm sorry. Yeah. My apologies. You worked hard for that. So, let's get it right. Yeah, the concierge key.
And how many miles do you have to get to get the concierge key?
This is my third year becoming concierge key. And it varied each year, but like 1 year, first year I got it, I think I was flying like 180, and then my second year I was flying like 240, and then this year I flew like 230.
And
that's hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, 230,000 miles.
Yeah.
So you can have a plane wait for you.
Nah.
They do call you. They call you Mr. Rembert.
Yes.
Do they call you Mr. Jason?
No.
Okay.
Do they give you wings?
No.
Like, do you get
that'd be cool though. Yeah. They should give us wings.
Yeah. But, like, do you get to like go up to the cockpit and be like, oh wow.
Yeah.
Take a picture?
Yeah. Nah. Only thing we really get is like, you know, we're like the first people to board the plane.
Sure.
Like if I land in like London, they would have like a car waiting for me to like
the airline does.
Yeah, yeah. To, all right. Like to drive me to customs.
Do they fill out your custom card for you?
No, I gotta fill it out. I wish. I wish, man.
Do the airline attendants know you by face at this point?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, a lot. Crazy. Like. Yeah,
the pilots too. Are they just like Jason? And you're like Tom. What's going on? Yeah.
Not that
like,
bad.
Real smooth ride back to L.A.
Yeah, no, not so much, man.
You get to pick your seat.
Yeah, I mean, I fly a lot.
Too much.
Like I fly a lot, especially like New York to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always on the same flight. I'm always on like the first flight and the last flight back.
Yeah.
So like everyone knows who I am, and they show me a lot of love.
That's dope.
Do you have a lot of friends who are, like, passengers as well? Like, the regulars?
Yeah, it's, like, one.
Yeah.
It's, like, one.
Yeah. And so, like, do you guys sit together, or do you...
No.
You like, the wave?
Yeah. The head nod.
Yeah.
All the time.
You guys have your own, like, ASAP mob type of, like, handshake? Yeah.
Man, no, it's so dope, man. Like, I didn't qualify yet this year, though, for Mosaic on JetBlue. I usually always qualify for at least like two airlines, like their highest levels, but I didn't fly enough like JetBlue this year.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Gotta make up for it.
I gotta make up for it. But JetBlue is like where you like see it, like everybody. Everybody's always on it.
Does JetBlue send you like blue like chips for like Christmas or something like that?
Nah, man, they need to. No one sent me Christmas gift. I think everybody like don't have my address. I'm gonna post it on Instagram.
Yeah. Did you move?
Yeah, I definitely moved. No, no one has this address. No, I'm not giving anyone my address.
No, good. Correct.
I think you have to spell that. You're like, okay, yeah, these are all jokes.
Yeah, yeah. You can DM, but you cannot get...
Do you guys go to Carmine's?
No.
I've actually never been to Carmine's.
I've been there like twice in the time we lived here.
You've been to POPO?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely been to POPO.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm always over here, bro.
Yeah, why don't you hang out?
I don't know, bro.
You didn't send us any Christmas presents.
Like, I had to get invited over.
Yeah, you had to show up at like 11 o'clock at night on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Bro, I'm telling you, you probably be having some crazy parties here.
Well, that is not true. We're about to now before we move the fuck out of here. Yeah. You know, almost burn the place down. Yo, listen, thank you so much for coming up here on short notice, number one.
Of course, bro.
And congratulations on not just like the hell of the year that you had like in 2018, but you did what your mom wanted. You made it out of that apartment. You made it to a bigger house and a bigger life and a bigger 2019. So thank you so much. Congratulations and safe flight.
Thank you guys for having me, man. No, this was fun. Yeah. Like you guys are actually really good at this.
actually, yeah.
So I think you should really like continue
yeah,
to do this. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you saw I don't know if you guys follow the Shiggy Show.
Yeah.
It was like, I'm going to say every year this is my year.
Yeah.
Until it is my year. So, you guys should keep doing this until it's your year.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Yeah. People keep saying, 2019 is my year. I'm like, nah, 2020 is my year. Like, I'm thinking in the future.
Thanks so much, Jason.
Of course, bro.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's The Real. Jeff, people want to find out more about us. I'm Eric, you're Jeff. Together, we are It's The Real. If people want to find out more about this podcast, it's called A Waste of Time with It's The Real, and we are 230-something episodes into our insane run. Jeff, if people want to find out more about what's going on with us, where can they go?
You can always go to itsthereal.com, itsthereal.com. Go to itsthereal.com/shop. Go get some merch.
Yeah.
Go to itsthereal.com and leave us a message and send us your email for our newsletter.
Yeah, please do that.
Do that. We won't send it to Time Warner. We don't even get cable from them anymore.
No, it's true.
You can always go and find our podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud and CastBox and Spotify.
And all you gotta do
is just search for It's The Real.
That's it.
It's
so simple now. Type It's The Real, one word, no apostrophe, no spaces.
That's it.
Into the search bar.
How do you do it?
And you will get a Waste of Time episode.
What?
And you'll get two Jews and two Black Dudes episodes.
It's that easy?
It's that easy.
It's that easy.
Do it now.
It only takes 45 minutes.
Tell a friend.
You can also go and find all of our music. Search for Teddy Bear Fresh on Spotify or Tidal or whatever.
Or just search It's The Real.
Who cares? Just search for It's The Real.
Yes.
You can also go and find us on social media at It's The Real on Twitter, at It's The Real on Facebook, at It's The Real on Instagram.
It's like we've made this process streamlined.
Wow, it's that easy. No more spilling coffee.
Not today.
Nope.
Not in 2019. No. Jeff, we put out the word. We said, hey, if you subscribe to Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies on iTunes right now.
Right now?
And you take a screenshot right now.
Right now?
We will shout you out right now.
Right now.
So, Jeff, who are we shouting?
I want to shout out Zoetic 5D.
Big shout out to Zoetic.
The thing I like about Zoetic is that they put the pronunciation in the thing so that you don't fuck it up.
That's smart.
Zoetic. Shout out to Anna Says. Yeah. Anna C, I want to shout out Anonymous Hippopotamus.
I like that.
Also known as CJ Mark 810. I also want to shout out Ron V11.
All right.
We should also shout out This Is Negs, who says Eric Sheik Styles and Jeff the Serial Killer. All 2019, you guys are the best at what y'all do.
Now, Negs, you're the best.
In, you're missing the fuck out. Shout out to Lord Lux 16, Stephen Lux.
Yeah, big shouts to Stephen Lux.
Shout out to Prince Slime Ryan Jimenez.
All right, I'm down with that.
I also want to shout out Jeff Vander Dolan, aka J Monkey, aka Young Kudo. Reporting for duty, our longtime listener from the Netherlands.
Oh, man. And by the way, my favorite part of that, it doesn't say subscribed in English.
It says Jaberniers.
So thank you.
As we all say around here, whenever I go Dutch. I also want to shout out Jabari Sampson, or his screen name, or whatever you want to use.
Okay, so what do you...
The Fat Pragmire.
Well, what do you want to use, Jeff? Who
I'd
want
like
to, shout?
To say Jabari Sampson.
All right.
He said, love both the podcasts, keep doing your thing. I will, but mostly because Jabari said so.
Great.
Let's also shout out Flexington Steel Fernando.
Yeah, shout out to Fernando.
He says, not for real, for real. We should also shout out Pedro Casas.
All right.
Who we know from meeting him in Austin at South by Southwest.
This is true. Shout out to Pedro for leaving a comment.
Pedro. I also want to shout out Bro Knowledge, a.k.a. Ned Slanders, who says, I'm stoned, forgive me because I fucked up. I also want to shout out...
It's a great name, by the way. Ned Slanders.
Yeah, it's great. I want to shout out A. Breezy. Yeah. I want to shout out Timbo Slice, a.k.a. Mr. Break It Down, who said, shout out to one of your favorite New Jersey fans.
And by the way, a huge supporter on Instagram.
Who says that he wants to pick the movie next time. He's still better than Dave the Intern. I don't know that he can pick the movie next time. It's my choice.
But I do know
that he's better than Dave.
He's better than Dave.
And also I want to shout out Scoot Ghost, Old Man Will, who says that we are the fucking best. No, you.
Wait.
Are the effing best. you the best.
Is that it?
Actually, let me just say, I want to shout out Gord UK.
Okay.
Because he might have been the first one to actually send us a screenshot.
Shout out to Gord's. Thank you all for going to iTunes and subscribing to the dedicated feed for Two Jews and Two Black Dudes Review the Movies. Jeff, as always, not for real, for real.
Sure, sure.
We'll see you guys next week. Brrrah!